Would you pray with me? Holy God, may the words of my mouth, meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, for you, O Lord, are the one who strengthens us, the one who redeems us. Amen. Well, here we are again, back at the birth of Jesus. Well, at least a short time after the birth. Last week, our gospel reading, Jesus was 12 years old and in the temple. And his parents had taken off to go home. And then they came back to find him. But now we're back to the birth story. And I call it Christmas Story Part 2. I say part two because not only is this Christmas story from a different gospel, the regular one is from Luke, this one of course is from Matthew, but it stands alone and it talks of a whole different aspect of the incarnation or the birth of Christ. In Luke's gospel, the birth of Jesus is all about the Messiah being born into Judaism. Everything is done according to Jewish law. The Holy Family were visited by shepherds from nearby fields who presumably were Jewish. The whole story of Jesus, according to Luke, happens in a very Jewish context. In Matthew's gospel of the Christmas story, we suddenly have three strangers from the east. Magi. Actually, it's not three strangers. It's strangers from the east. If you'll notice, it does not say three. People just assumed that it was three because there were three gifts. But we have these strangers from the east. Magi. Astrologers. And from the east, for centuries, has been interpreted to mean that these magi came from outside of Palestine, or outside of the Jewish land and area. Many have conjectured that they came from Persia, which had a whole different religion. And Matthew is making the point that people from other lands recognize that Jesus is special. Then we get right back into the Jewishness of the story. Jesus is in the temple. Jesus preaches in the synagogue and so on and so on. It must be noted that Jesus, throughout his teaching, though, stretches the boundaries of Judaism. Especially when it came to the laws of faith and the inherent legalism that they instilled in the Jewish faith. That was Jesus' big conundrum with the Pharisees and the Jewish hierarchy, because they were so glued to those laws, and the faith was about the laws rather than about God and being true to God. Today we hear from Paul in Ephesians, and he blows this whole Jews are the chosen people of God right out of the water. Listen again to what Paul writes. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. The mystery has been revealed. The grace of Christ and of God has been opened up to include the Gentiles, which in the Jewish mindset was everybody else. What a radical new idea for the very early fellowship of believers. It's an evolution of theology, as it were. It's interesting that this past week in our Bible study, as we're continuing our study of the story of Noah, We talked about evolution, the evolution of belief, the evolution of theology. We talked about the idea that in Genesis, we have the stories about God liking or helping certain people. Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, Noah, Abraham. But there's nothing in between the stories. There's nothing to connect the stories together. It's just pick and choose. We don't even know why God reckoned that Noah was righteous, or that why God let Cain go after Cain had killed his brother. There wasn't much continuity between the stories. Then with Moses, you get the laws. And there's a little bit more continuity. We begin to hear Moses kind of goes through about four books. And then the prophets, they appear. And the stories start to be connected even more. Then Jesus comes and radically changes the understanding of the law. And then Paul comes with this radical idea that the grace of God is for everyone. Peter in Acts also challenges the notion of God only offering grace to the Jewish people. In a sense, it has been a mystery then, a mystery that has slowly unfolded over the history. Now, it's not a mystery like the mystery inherent in the Gnostic understanding of faith. In that belief, you have to learn secrets in order to move to the next level in your continuing quest to uncover that divine spark within you and to let it free. In a sense, that is why we say that Jesus was the light of the world. His birth brought light, illuminated the grace that God shares with all people. Even when he was challenged by the religious authorities, or the Samaritan woman, or the stone throwers with the adulterous woman, he responded with grace and stretched the limits of understanding. Light brought more inclusiveness. And light continues to bring more inclusiveness. Reverend Dr. William Loder, Emeritus Professor at Murdoch University in Australia, writes about this. The case in point being celebrated is the inclusion of the Gentiles. If we imagine ourselves back into the ministry of Jesus, we would be noting his meals with the marginalized, rich and poor. When we turn to our own age, we can extend the list. It would include many who, because of their culture, religious background, skin color, language, sexuality, gender, age, ability, or disability, are despised or treated as of lesser worth. If it took effort to produce the heap phraseology of the author, meaning Paul, to celebrate this truth, it also takes much effort to celebrate it and enact it in our own age. It was not easy for Paul. Paul was called to Jerusalem before the council of the apostles and challenged on his belief that the word was to go to Gentiles. And there was the struggle. Do the Gentiles need to be circumcised? Do they need to become Jewish to become? And it was this whole thing. It was not easy. It took a lot of work. And Paul saw the work of the early Christians in his own mission to offer grace to all people. He held firm to that idea. Not just those who believe the same thing. This was a new light, a new understanding for the church of his time. And that's why the movement to include LGBTQ people in the life and worship of the church was and is called the More Light Movement. More light. Paul shed more light. Today we shed more light. What Paul is saying in his time, provided more light for the church of his time. Today, the movement calls for more light for our time. There are those who would pull out the scriptures to say God is against this much inclusiveness. And I would remind us that Jesus, the Jesus that we worship, the one that we call the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, He broke the rules of the faith of His day. This is what the religious authorities of His day were after Him about, because He kept breaking the rules. And what they ultimately nailed Him to the cross for. They did not see or want this new light. So today we celebrate the light of the star that led the Magi to the baby Jesus. Strangers from Persia who worshiped a different God. We've been given the light today as well. And we cannot be exclusive with it. So may God guide us to share the light of God's love and grace with all people. Amen.